Well, he just gave him a whole message, so let's bow our heads and we'll... No, I'm just kidding. No, thank you guys for welcoming me. Like he said, I'm Dominic. Everybody usually calls me Dom, whether I like it or not, so I just accepted it. And but I thank you. And like he said, it's really... it is kind of a neat story. If I sit back and I look at it, I don't always realize it's my story. And I think, man, that was a really... A guy that just wanted to grow. Amen. Sometimes I get emotional thinking about it, so I'm going to hold that part back because I did. I served at our previous church for 10 years. Well, we went there for 10 years. 10 years is a long time, decade, when I think about it. And it's really like I went there. The first time I went there, I thought, I'm going to go see what these crazy people are about. They're probably like every other born-again Christian I met, and I'll come home in 20 minutes and spend the next 10 years lost, you know? And I went, and it was really different. And but I think inside, deep inside of each of every one of us, God plants something inside of us that is begging to be rooted somewhere. That's begging to be rooted, you know. I think when we start thinking about how we ask questions about this Jesus or about what these people are doing, it's because deep inside, there's a root system that's desiring to grow into truth. That it wants to know what God is in them. Amen. And it's so deep, and it changed my life completely. Like Pastor Dan said, I'm so thankful to be able to be up here today and talk a little bit about it. I got a few thousand pages of notes, so hopefully we get through it. Amen. I always think, man, I don't know if I'm going to have enough to say, and then I realize the people that know me are like, dude, you don't shut up. Amen. Amen. So, amen. Hey, easy. So, amen. I know we prayed. We're going to pray again real quick, and then we'll get into it. So, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity today. I thank you for the Bridge Church, Lord, and I thank you for new soil, Father, that we can plant ourselves into and grow to the full harvest that you have for us, Lord. I thank you for your people here, Lord. I declare that they have ears to hear your word today, hearts to receive it, and the ability to put it into action in their lives. Father, we welcome the Holy Spirit here today, Lord, that he reigns and he's covering and fluttering over us today, Father, as he did over the earth when it was formed, Father, that he just rests upon us and opens those doors in our heart to receive this word, Father. So we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If I sound a little shaky, it's the last time I got to teach in front of a bunch of people that didn't know I was going to was back in July. So I'm very thankful to be here and getting over the little shake. So we're talking about rooted soil of serving. And I think it's just it's an amazing thing when we think about a root system and how things, God designs things to grow no matter what. And it's amazing how the worst things in life don't take anything to grow, right? We spend all summer just getting rid of weeds, man. You don't have to water these things. They come up. I came from the high desert of California where nothing grows there but weeds. Yep. Nothing grows but weeds. You don't have to water it. You don't have to do anything. I'm like, how backwards is this? But it's a representation of how the enemy's plan is. It's to just get you away from the things that you do need. He'll produce you in the things that you don't. Whether you want to or not, if you're not staying in the ground and being watered the way you're supposed to, you're going to grow tremendously fast in the things you're not supposed to. Yes. That's not even in my notes yet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're going to grow in things that you're not supposed to. So we're staying soil is serving. Just go through my notes, so bear with me, introduce myself. We did that. We're teaching on servanthood. Soil is serving. This is probably, I think, is the main thing, and it touched me deeply because, like he said, I served for a long time. I went to the previous ministry, like I said, and there was something inside of me that kept wanting to know more. How do I get in this thing? Not realizing, how do I grow? That's not the words I was thinking at the time, but I just want to be the best. Matter of fact, that's how I got saved at that ministry. I was going there that summer, and then that August, August 21st of 2007, I was sitting in there, and I was the whole message went on. I can't even tell you what the message was, but afterwards, the pastor was giving the altar call, and I was sitting there, and as he was talking, I was ignoring him. Real good churchgoer, right? I just started going, so just take it easy. So he's talking, he's giving the altar call, and all of a sudden, I'm like having this conversation where I'm speaking clearly, like I am right now, and I'm telling God, I just want to be the best, man. I want to be the best that you want me to be. I've been doing everything on my own, trying to be bigger, trying to do this, trying to do that. I mean, I've lied to everybody my whole life because wanting to be something I wasn't, thinking I was going to get there just by lying about it or whatever. That's how I knew I fell in love with my wife, how I knew that she was going to be the one I met that night that I met her, because she's the first woman I never lied to. I never lied to her about who I was or what I wanted to do and all that. I just was, okay, I couldn't even say it. But anyway, I knew that I just wanted to be the best. So I'm telling God, I said, you know, I just want to be the best husband. I have a little boy. I have a son on the way. I just want to be the best father, the best husband, the best son to my parents, the best brother to my brother, the best I can be in this world that I don't mess up. I don't mess it up. I want to be the best for you. And he said, raise your right hand. And I said, I don't know. I don't want to do that. Why do I got to do that? And he said, it starts with being obedient, right? It starts with being obedient and listening to what I have to tell you. So raise your right hand. And I said, I don't want to do that. Why do I have to do that? He said, look, do you want to be the best or not? And this is clear as I'm saying it to you. And I said, yes, I want to be the best. And he said, then raise your right hand. I said, okay, fine. Raise my right hand. And then Pastor Zorn Time says, hey, I see your right hand. I see your hand. All right. And I was like, oh, what am I doing? I forgot where I was. I was like, what am I doing? So, and being the way I was raised, I always come through with what I say I would do. So I raised my right hand and we prayed and then went in the back and prayed with some of the other ministers there and received Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I'm so thankful that they didn't tell me now that I was planted that I would just grow immediately and life would be great. Because if they would have told me that, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be friends with the Rashids. I probably wouldn't be with my wife still. And I wouldn't be up here talking a mile a minute. But nobody told me life was going to be great. But they told me through Scripture that now you're planted. Now you got to get watered. And then you're going to have to get fertilized. It means you're going to have to probably go through a bunch of fertilizer in life. And it's going to stink. But you're going to get through it, and there's always going to be those challenges. You know, there's challenges today. And today I've learned and grown that I'm thankful. I welcome those. You know, I'm not afraid of challenges. I'm not afraid of who the devil thinks he is. I'm not afraid of any of that stuff. And it's cool, another challenge. You know, I realized, you know, when you're an adult, you get through one thing, and then there's another thing. It's like, cool, man, we got through diapers. Oh, now they're walking to school by themselves. Lord, let them use a crosswalk, please. Let them wait for the car to stop. You know, you got all this stuff. So, anyway, I knew, though, once I got saved, that I was called. I was called for something, and deep down, that root system that starts to grow that knows that we desire truth, it was telling me I was called to serve God. However, whenever, and then I was like, okay, I know that. Okay, now what do I do? He said, just wait. Okay, so I was like, right? So I'm like waiting. I knew I was called to serve. We were going there, and it was about a year and a half in that all of a sudden, I remember I had this crazy dream about serving our pastor, doing off-the-wall stuff, and then I got approached, and they said, hey, we're going to start training you for something. And it was called armor bearing is what they called it there. And it's such an awesome thing to think about when we read about David's life and how David was called to be an armor bearer for Saul. Right? One of the greatest things, though, difference between David and myself is my pastor wasn't trying to kill me while I was serving him. So I'm thankful for that. So, but I was called to serve. So I served our pastor for 8 years. I know a solid 8 years, maybe a little bit longer, but because we went there 10 years and then we went and then we didn't go. And then that's because I thought I knew better. And then all of a sudden I was like, no, I don't know anything. So I got to get back into the Word, and then that's when we made friends with the Rashids. I probably bugged you guys, wanted to be friends, and because we didn't have friends. And I'll get to that in this teaching in a minute. I mean, we knew people that people liked us, of course. But we didn't always like people. But I knew, like I said, this book that we're teaching, the series, Rooted, it speaks of David. And, you know, David embraced this call that put him in a position. And the position he was in, he thought it was going to like kind of throttle him, give him a stepping stone to the throne, right? And like I said, some of the differences, my pastor wasn't trying to kill me. And also the other difference was I didn't go into this thinking, okay, I'm going to be a pastor. I never think of that. You know, I didn't think I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a king. Titles are no big thing to me. I've learned, I know who I am. Even before Jesus, I knew who I was. I just wanted to be more. So I lied to people. Thank God I got delivered from lying. You know, there's so many people now that enter my life that trust me. I would never want to ruin that. But David thought it was going to be a springboard, like I said, and I didn't know it was going to springboard me also, not to maybe be the pastor of the church, but to be the pastor of my home and to be the king in my home, right? I wasn't trying to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to be, I'm going to be the king, and that's it. It wasn't like that, but it got me to learn by staying there, by staying rooted, by allowing myself to be watered by the word of God, right, by God's word, through a pastor who I chose to believe that he heard from God. Like, I believe that our Pastor Dan and Michelle hear from God, and otherwise, why would we be here, you know? I chose to just, okay, I'm going to go with this thing. I'm going to allow myself to be watered. I always think about, sorry about that. You know the little cups we get in elementary school, and they plant the lima bean, right? And we plant that lima bean, and that lima bean, like that lima bean, I was going to say, I don't have a choice. I'm not going to come up unless somebody digs me up. That's just how I'm going to have to do this thing, because we loved each other and we knew that nothing was going to break us apart. But once I got born again, that next year, man, we went through some, it wasn't even a roller coaster. It would have been great if there were some highs in that couple years, but there wasn't. It was like a continual, like, man, we're going down. Not us. I say that because we just always knew that nothing was going to, I mean, if we're going to be broke, we'll just be broke together. Why be broke by yourself? Now you're lonely and broke. You might as well just be broke together, right? Whatever it was, we're going to stick through it. But we went through a really bad year, a bad year. It was kind of like how the high desert in California is now. There's been like no rain for like 10 years, right? I mean, it was like that, but in a 12-month span of time where I was like, we're not going to get uprooted. It wasn't the words I used, but we're not going to get taken out of this thing. And at the time, I had made a deal with God, because that's, he didn't do that for you. Okay, so I told God, this is my plan. I said, look, man, this is how long you got to make this thing work. And praise God, he just kind of probably babied me. Okay, whatever. And then I forgot about the deal, and everything started working out. But that lima bean, and the reason I bring that up is because sometimes as kids in those classrooms, I remember I had friends, we planted it, and then 2 days later, we didn't see nothing come up, so they dug it up to see if it was still in there. And well, now we had to start the process over. It sucks to start things over. It's hard to start things over. I mean, it really is, you know, and depending how you do it, even like Pastor Dan said, we moved here. We were in California. Life was great. My wife had a 30-year career in the same city of Rancho Cucamonga. My wife does hair also. I say that because a lot of us here do hair. I'm a barber, and Pastor Michelle is a stylist, and my wife's a stylist. She gave up 30 years of clients. 30 years of clientele. We knew every week. I said, I know how much she's going to be bringing in. I know how much she's bringing in, you know? And then I started barbering, and then praise God, his hand has just been upon it. I've been blessed ever since I started. And knew what we were going to have 4 years of clientele at the same shop, but we said, we're going to start over. And I was like, man, it sucks to start over. But this time it was different because we weren't uprooting ourselves. God says, it's time to cultivate now. You've produced fruit here, which I know I have at that ministry. You've produced fruit. Now I'm going to uplift you the right way. You know, when you buy plants from Home Depot and then they tell you to wait a certain time and you take them out and you don't do it right, plant dies, right? Yeah. And then if you're like my folks, you use the lifetime warranty on the plant and you take it back and say it didn't grow, and then they give you a new one and then they try it again. Well, God said, I'm going to cultivate this thing. If my parents hear this on the podcast, I love you, Mom and Dad. But God uprooted us and said, now it's not going to suck, and it hasn't sucked. We've molded right in. And it's like we didn't lose any fruit, right? If I was a fruit tree, I think I'd be a pear tree. That's for me. But so it does suck, and so you'd have to plant that lima bean back, and now we just got to start the whole process over if we didn't kill the bean. You know, as kids, we'd leave it out and then not even tell the teacher for 4 days. And then they're like, what's this little booger-looking thing? Well, that was the lima bean. It just dried up. I need a new one. So you don't want to uproot yourself. You want to let this thing go. But again, back to being a king in my own home is what I learned through staying rooted in the Word. I learned that in the Scripture, in 1 Timothy 6:15, God says that you are a king of kings. He's the king of kings. He says, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only Potentate, the king, capital K, little k, kings. And the capital L, Lord of little L, lords, right? So he says he's the king of the little K kings, us. Little lords, us. So I said, well, okay, maybe I can be a king. Maybe this thing is springboarding me. I'll be the king in my house because God reigns over that thing. So he's the king over that. But as long as you stay rooted, Holy Spirit kept feeding into me. As long as you stay rooted, you'll stay a king. You're not going to lose your domain. You're not going to lose any of the authority I've given you. And at the time, what authority? And we'll get to that. We're going to grow you. Can't produce fruit until you start to grow, right? So you get roots first planted in the ground, and then you start to let yourself blossom. So we know that Jesus is the King of Kings, and so now I'm a king, right? Serving positioned me to grow not only in my church, but like I said, in my home as well, to serve my wife, which, of course, I think I do an amazing job of listening to her, and to serve my sons. I'm raising men. You know, I know I have children, but I try not to treat them like children that much because they're going to be men. And I want them to be men of God. I want them to serve God. I want them to serve their wives and to serve their children. Amen. And to serve me. So I don't have to work my whole life. I'm raising these people, and it's taught me to be that way, to serve in my home. How do I do that? I've gotten rooted. I got rooted at my church. I got rooted in my home, but I got rooted at my church. And I say my church because this is where we serve God through serving his people. A lot of times at the previous ministry, people always saw me, I just carried the pastor's water and his Bible. There's whatever they called me at the time, Deacon Dom before. He's just carrying this thing. But I knew deep down, it's more than that. I'm serving God through the position that he placed that guy in it, because I believe that's my role for however long until I'm called out of that. Is if it wasn't our pastors here, it'd be another pastor that's doing what God has called them to do. I'm to serve God by serving that particular ministry, serving the pastors. Although we do it different here, I still serve them the way that they need me to serve them. You know, I don't have to carry his water. He doesn't even drink it. They put this one up here for him. He didn't even drink it. So I'm going to drink it. So, but that's how staying rooted in my church. This is the soil that God talks about, that you're on good ground. When you walk here, like Pastor said in the opening about staying and fellowshipping with like-minded people, that's how you get watered. That's how you get fertilized in a better way than I first described. But that's how you start to grow in who you are in God, by staying with people. Part of that thing when I told God I wanted to be good, or I wanted to be the best, I was talking about I wanted to grow also. I want to grow in every area of my life. In every situation, every weather condition, everything that happens, I want to be an evergreen. That's how I want to grow. I want to be an evergreen, so that way, even when it's dry desert, hellfire times, I'm still blossoming. People don't see me going through that because I have Jesus that lives inside of me, that's part of my root system, that's causing me to stay green, to be, you know, the big trees. You guys with me? Some of you are like, are we in forestry now? It's a botany class. But I wanted to be an evergreen. I wanted to grow that way. Like David, I had to learn, though, to be humble in serving. It's funny, I always joke when I hear the word humble from the movie Volume 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, when that big ogre guy is like, oh, humility, I too am humble. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a humble guy myself. I like what you're doing there. But and David had to learn to be humble in serving. Like I mentioned a minute ago, that there was a lot of times when I personally knew I could do this better. Like, I felt that deep down. I could do this better than what pastor's doing. I can do this better than what the assistant pastor's doing. I could do this better than what those guys are doing. And then I would be told, hey, I need you to do this. I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. Man, why did I say that, Lord? He's like, well, you said you could do it better. Oh, I can't. I know you can't, but we're going to teach you how to do it well. You know, because I know I can't do it better than what God wants. I can't do it better. I could do it how God wants me to do it, which is the best for me and my family. Do what I told you to do, and that'll be best for you and for your family, and I'll be able to be glorified through you in that, if you just do what I ask you to do. So I had to learn I can't do it better, but I want to do it well, so I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to listen to God through my pastors, and I'm just going to follow direction, which was always hard for me to follow direction. My oldest son is my little twin, and he's one too that doesn't, he'll go where I tell him to go, but he won't go the way I tell him to. You know what I mean? Like, hey man, I want you to go downstairs. I want you to take the staircase, go downstairs and whatnot. And he's like, that staircase? I said, yeah, so he'll go that staircase. Mm-hmm. He's like, but I'm still downstairs. Okay. So I have to learn that. So I had to learn that I wasn't. I had to learn to be obedient because I wanted to grow. I wanted to grow. Don't uproot yourself thinking that you're better and you can grow faster somewhere else. Grow where you're planted is how God was speaking to me, right? Yes. Grow where you've been planted, because if you keep uprooting yourself, you're never going to produce fruit. And what happened, what did Jesus do to the tree that wasn't producing fruit? Right? He dried it up and it was never able to again, ever. And that's just an amazing thing. Like, you'll never produce fruit again. Imagine, it's like, it blows me away. It's like, God, never tell me that. Never tell me that. Whatever I got to do, don't ever tell me that. So anyways, I learned about being obedient. That's part of being rooted. You get somewhere, you get rooted. Now the obedience has to be part of your lifestyle. Part of that, Pastor Dan mentioned, and I'm going to reiterate and kind of plug that book, The Bait of Satan, about being offended. Being offended will dig you out of something quick. And it's not people digging you out. I learned that being offended is a choice, that I have to receive it. I learned that, you know, people are going to do whatever they're going to do. I can't control what people do, but I can control how I respond to what they do. I can control, am I going to allow myself to be dug up? Am I going to dig myself out of the ground right now because he's worn a black shirt for 7 weeks in a row? It's really bothering me. He hasn't. I'm just saying, though. Those are those things. You know what I mean? There wasn't enough people here today. I ain't going back there. The church isn't big enough. They don't do enough of this. They don't do enough of that. I can't believe they have couches. What is it? Someone's living room. Whatever. That can bother people, but I made a choice. It's not going to offend me. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for the setup. I'm here to get watered and hear the word of God. Amen. And then if there's something that I think is not right, I'm going to go back to this later and go, wait, no, that is right. He just didn't say it the way I heard it before. But it was right. So I'm not going to uproot myself. Amen. I'm going to allow myself to not be offended. That book, though, The Bait of Satan, if anybody goes to church, which is all of you here, I would suggest reading it sometime in your life. If you decide that you don't want to go to church no more, read the book first. If you're a leader in a church, read that book. If you decide you don't want to be a leader and you want to leave the church, you read that book first before you make any crazy decisions in your life. It's great. Great. Like, it changed his life. It changed mine too. Again, like I said, David and I, my pastor didn't want to kill me. Thank goodness. I love that guy. Love him. Pastor Dan loves him. Everybody knows Pastor Zorn loves him. It was crazy. One time I heard how someone had said that they would die for their pastor. I'm like, that's crazy. I'm taking a bullet. I don't know what that guy did to that guy. But then one day it hit me with my pastor there and with Pastor Dan now too, because we became friends and we've been friends for the whole 10 years that we went to VCC, was that I would die for my pastor. I would die for him because I know that he's following Jesus and the work needs to continue through somebody. Yes. Because he's rooted, so I'm going to stay rooted and whatnot. So I don't know why I said that, but because I know he didn't want to kill me, but I would happily die for him. The book Rooted that we're reading out of, it mentions that David's choice to serve Saul, he chose to serve Saul rather than go against him. This was critical to his root system. Amen. This was critical to his root system. Last week, Pastor Michelle talked about a thriving root system. You have to choose to do these things. If you want your roots to grow, you have to choose to let them grow. If you want it to thrive, you have to get every type of nutritional value for your root system that you can, which means coming to church on Sundays, studying the word on your own, listening to the podcast, being around like-minded people, writing down questions, what about this, what about that, and seeking those answers. That's how you get that thriving root system. That's how you choose to continue to serve God. Amen? He continues to say, there's a quote in the book, he says, it was not only an incredible expression of his trust, this is David talking about what he was doing, it was not only an incredible expression of his trust in God, but it was a commitment to let God fulfill the word over his life. The quote goes longer than that, but I wrote that down because that's where we get lost at. Like Pastor Dan said, Christians are, we're incredible people. But certain things go on and we're like, oh, nope, I'm done. It's not happening. That's it. But we have to make a commitment to let God fulfill the word over your life. Yes. You have to let him fulfill the word over your life. I knew deep down that God's word, that God would fulfill his word in my life, even before I knew the scripture in Romans 4:21. Romans 4:21 says, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was able to perform it. I knew it deep down, even before I knew that scripture, because I didn't know scripture when I got to church, when I got saved. But I knew that when I made that choice to do that, that God would fulfill that thing in me because of that thing that he's implanted in us, in our own personal root system that desires truth, that desires to want to grow in him, that desires to fulfill and love him. Amen. That I was convinced that he would do it and he was able to perform it. Another thing that I learned over the years, that being a Jesus follower means that we share in his identity and position, and therefore we must know to carry ourselves as he does, as God does. If we're going to serve, we got to carry ourselves the way that Jesus carries himself. The saying that always comes to mind, you know, what would Jesus do? We heard that. Remember they had the bracelets forever. And what would Jesus do in this situation? Many times I found myself over the years just like, I don't want to be here. These people aren't paying attention. These people aren't responding to what we're doing. But what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Matter of fact, this week I had an awesome opportunity to tell myself, what would Jesus do? Because, you know, we're around people. Can't be by myself all the time, so I got to be around people. And but man, if I acted the way I wanted to at the moment, one, I would have not represented who Jesus is in my life. I would have made a bad name for God, because our ultimate goal is not to get more spiritually studied so we can look good. It's where to get completely watered in this thing so our thriving root system can grow, so we can make God look better, not make ourselves look better. Mm-hmm. It's about making God look better in our lives, because we can do our own thing and people will be like, well, who are you? But the bigger we make and the better we make God look, that's more attractive to what he wants. You know, scripture says, hold me up, or you lift up the name of Jesus. I think it says, like, he's a banner, lift up in the name of Jesus, and he'll draw the people. Well, if I act the way I want to act, my flesh wants to, I'm not lifting up anything except, you know, my fists. I almost got ran off the road the other day. That's why I'm saying that. I remember I was telling you, I was on the phone with you, and I was like, this girl, I'm going to fight him. I even told her, I'm going to go pick a fight with him. She's like, no, babe, you're driving. I said, I'll get out of the car. I'll pull him over. And then I was like, man, I'll probably get beat up. I haven't gotten a fight in 25 years. Not a physical fight anyways, but I learned that. You gotta know that you position yourself the way that Jesus is. Man, time is going by quick. What would Jesus do? And not only that, I always tell myself, what would Jesus do, or what would my pastor do right now? And then I think, man, he would say, let's go fight him. And then I say, and then I'm the one reminding him, no. What would Michelle do? Do you know Jesus? Just kidding. I love you. I'm just kidding. So so we got to position ourselves that way. Know confidently that God will perform what he's designed inside of you to do. I love the Rashids. That's out of love, guys. I love them. I also learned that in serving, I said the word choice a couple times, that we have to decide to do this thing, especially as men, okay? Not just men of God, but men. People like it when men make decisions, especially wives. Just make a decision. It could be the wrong decision, but for God's love that they have for us, make a decision. And I learned, this is a little secret note for the husbands. I learned that when I get home, hey, baby, you want to go to dinner? She's like, yeah, where do you want to go? I always pick, no matter my favorite place, even if she hates it. I'll say, well, we'll go here. She's like, I don't like that. Okay, now it's on you. It's on you. I made a decision. Now it's on you. And then 45 minutes later, we go to where I probably first picked anyways. But make a decision. People like it, especially wives. Make a decision to do this thing and stick with it. Two things also. There's two revelations that come out of learning when you learn when you're serving. You learn who Jesus is, and then you learn who you are in him. Amen. You really do. You might think, man, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go through the motions. But you really learn who Jesus is by serving. And then you learn who he is. There's three dimensions to that. There's a revelation of greatness. There's a revelation of leadership, and there's a revelation of royalty. Okay, I like that, especially the greatness and leadership part. The royalty part, like I said, I'm not big on title, but that's cool. I'll take it. It comes with the package. The revelation of greatness. Luke, go to Luke chapter 9, verse 48. Luke 9:48. I have my glasses there, but I'll put them on. It says, and said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you, For he who is least among you all will be great. God will make you great. It doesn't matter what other people are thinking when you're doing what you're doing or what they think you're not doing. You get a level of greatness because God said he'll make you great. God said he makes you great. Yes. Amen? And then the second one, the revelation of leadership. Luke 10, verse 17 to 20 says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wait, maybe I gave you the wrong scripture, didn't I? No. Leadership. Through serving him, he shows you how to lead. Oh, no, because he gives us authority. No, that's right. Thank you. Thank you. I'll sign that thing for you later. He gives us authority to trample on those scorpions and Satan and serpents. But we only learn that because we're doing what he's called us to do. Yeah. Right? We can read stuff and have it all. Like he says, people come to church, and or Paul said during playing that a lot of people come and they don't reach for that garment. They'll come, they serve, they go through the motions, but they're not really reaching, so they don't understand the authority that they have. But God says he'll give you that leadership in who you are. Amen. And then royalty, because he's a king and you're doing what he would do because he's in you and you're in him, then you're a king also. More confirmation, not just the scripture, but that's just what he said. Jesus put these concepts together, greatness, leadership, and royalty with the concepts of humility, love, and service. Yeah. Service. Yeah. Service. Amen. Great love. Man, I'm running out of time. Hold on. Let me get to this last part. Skipping through this stuff. There's some stuff I wanted you to see real quick here. Let me talk about the rewards of serving, and then I'm gonna try to wrap it up. Okay. The rewards of serving. Rewards are, you know, that's not our motivation. We never do anything because we think, okay, this is what I'm gonna get, right? We should never be serving that way with this heart. But it's in the book, so I'm gonna take advantage of the whole package. This is what comes with the ticket. Okay, Genesis 15:1 says, and I didn't put that on there, but Genesis 15:1 says that God is our great reward. Amen. Okay, so I'll just take that. I'm serving God. God's our great reward. I'm going to take the reward. That's it. He's our great reward. But with serving, we get some other rewards as well. I'm going to share with you four of these. If you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do so, these are big. Four of them are here for you. The first reward you get is grace. Grace. Yeah. Grace. Amen. When you serve, you position yourself to allow grace in your life. James 4:6, if we can go to that one. James 4:6 says, it says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Right? Remember I said, in coming with service causes you to humble yourself. And so with that, we're given grace. Right? Grace, people think, well, okay, grace, great. What about it? Grace is unmerited favor and working power of God. Right? When Saul cried out and said, take this thorn away from me, and God told him three times, my grace is sufficient. He's telling him, I gave you the working power of the authority that I have through my son, Jesus, that I have given to you to work that out. Because it's your choice to continue to stay rooted in the system that I've given you. So you remove it. Or however you want to look at it. It could be a whole nother teaching and a debate. But I'm just saying, grace is the working power that God gave us to get through what we need to in this world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace. Also, keep in your mind that humble service does not mean neglecting yourself either. Sometimes people say, oh, I gave this up because I'm serving God. I gave this up because I'm serving God. Which is cool. Give up stuff. I gave up a lot of stuff. Thank God, being born again, I didn't have to give it up myself. God just kind of washed it away, right, for my life, which was great because I don't crave any of that stuff anymore. But you will, if you do this, if you give up a lot of this stuff because you think this is what I'm supposed to be doing, neglecting yourself, you're going to burn out. In 10 years in ministry, I've seen people burn out. Good people, smart people, but they didn't know how to balance what they had. They didn't rely on God to ask them, hey, how do I balance this thing out? I want to serve you, Lord, but how do I serve my wife? How do I serve my kids? How do I serve my friends? How do I serve my pastor? How do I serve my work? How do I serve my coworkers? I need balance. Right? Otherwise, you will burn out. You've got to create balance in your life. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done of selfish conceit. And then verse 3 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Okay? That means, you know, devaluing our lives is false humility. People say, you know, I took a vow of poverty. Well, we're going to the movies. We'll tell you how it was. You know what I mean? Do you want to stay that way? That's your business. But that you're devaluing your own life. That's not the way to do it. So learn to find balance, because it says look out not only for your own interests. Humble service connects us to something bigger than us. It's always bigger than us. Every time I teach something back in California, I'd always let people know, this thing is bigger than us. This is bigger than me. This whole thing is bigger than us. It's about God. It's about who Jesus is. Number two, out of the four things, is joy in serving. John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." This is the joy that comes with serving people. Now, sometimes there's those moments when you're serving and you think, man, this is not fun. But then you have to look back, well, who am I really doing this for? That's where you get your joy from. Like, Lord, I'm doing this for you, man. You called me to do this. I'm doing it. We're fulfilling these things we promised each other through the word that we would do. That's where my joy comes from. Amen. This is the joy that comes in serving. As much as the stuff that I've had to do, which I'm not complaining, those people that know me from before at the other show, I had to do a lot of stuff, which I didn't realize until we were leaving. We gave a notice that was a year long in advance because there was some training that had to be done, which I didn't realize needed to be done. Not tooting my own horn, but I wore some hats, which I didn't realize that I had that many things going on. So praise God, though. God always, there's always a ram in the thicket. Amen. So those things happen, but I found joy in each and every one of the things I did. Each and everything that I did there. The third thing, there's a place of safety when it comes to serving God. A place of safety. Amen. Being with Jesus is a safe place. Serving is also a safe place, because when you are serving, you are co-working alongside Jesus, doing what he would do. Aligning yourself up with him and what he is doing. Amen. Serving helps us avoid stepping into spiritual danger zones, because we're staying with Jesus when we're serving. Amen. For me, serving people wasn't always just about at church. Amen. Preparing for this message today is serving people, is a service, right? Is serving God by doing this. Being asked to do this, I was ecstatic to do it. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I got to write a message. But staying prepared for this was me staying close to Jesus, because this is all I thought about all week, which kept me in that zone. Kept me praying in the spirit, kept me thinking about what's going to come out. How do I convey the message? How do I get this out, Lord? And then God said, you just get it out. We made a joke on the way here. I was telling my wife, I said, I'm just going to stand up there. Pastor Dan and Michelle are probably going to freak out. But we talk about being used by God. So I'm just going to stand up here and say, okay, guys. Just let it come out. Just let God speak. So anyway, sorry you had to see it in my mouth. They're going to be like, what is he doing? I'm just waiting for God to speak. Amen. It keeps you out of those dangers. Like I said, this is all I thought about this whole week, preparing this message. It kept me in the word all week more than I usually am. You know, I mean, I'm in the word, but not like I was this week, making sure that I'm saying things that God wants me to say and I'm getting it out right. It gave me less time to think about those fleshly things, social media, watching TV. Listening to the radio, it kept me away from all that stuff and just focused on what God wanted for us today. It kept me in that thing, and by being there, it kept me out of the danger zone, out of the danger zone that would slip me into something else. Amen? And that's just reality. Just because we serve God doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, other women aren't attractive, or food I shouldn't have is good, or pictures I shouldn't be looking at aren't going to come up. I mean, this is the world we live in, so it kept me focused on that thing. Amen? I didn't get consumed with social media, which is good, because I'm a barber. I think I mentioned that. But during the downtime, I'm either reading a book, take that back, Lord, lied. I'm trying to read a book, or I'm on social media just flipping through. So, amen. So it did not let me consume my time in there. In serving, we position ourselves to do what he's doing, what he is thinking, and we also are walking with him at that same time. This means that we take posture in serving. This reminds me also of something that Pastor Michelle had said last week, and you talked about secret place last week. And I think I mentioned something to you about, like, hey, Now I got some answers. I always hear about the secret place. You know, we always hear about the secret place. You got to get the secret place with God. You got to do this thing. And I even mentioned it to Pastor Dan a while back. I was like, man, I don't have it like that. Like, I don't have like a closet to go into. We have a small apartment. We barely have a kitchen. So, I mean, you can't get away from anybody. So I'm thinking, I don't have that kind of thing, you know? And then I'm like all day asking God, like, where do I hang out with you? When do I do that? Do you want me? I mean, am I not doing that? Does it hurt you that I'm not like literally having a space that I go to in a room, you know? And then it hit me that this whole years of serving, the whole time, how much time I spent with the Holy Spirit and talking to God and praying about things that I needed to do with all those hats that I mentioned, my secret place has always been in my serving. Because the whole time that I'm serving, I'm always just, God, is this the way? Is this how you need me to do it? Is this what you want me to do? If I make a mistake, show me so I can correct it before other people see it, because I don't want you to look bad. I just want you to be glorified. Yeah. And he said, your secret place has always been with me. You've always been in the secret place with me when you're serving, because you're doing what I've called you to do so long ago. You're still doing it until I ask you to do something else. So I was like, wow. And that's what I was saying when you talked about how we have those. Yeah, I think you mentioned something about having something, everybody's different little secret place. My secret place has just been in the open, but kind of hidden in plain sight, right? Unless people saw my mouth moving while I was praying vigorously. Like, why can't people see that that curtain is not right? And it needs to not be a distraction to the pastor. So anyways, that's another VCC thing. Anyways, the last part, this is special to me. Pastor had mentioned it, how I got saved and how God raised me up. Okay. This is the fourth thing out of those four about in serving is promotion. This is just like, wow. When I read this, when I started going to church and I was meeting Jesus, my whole thing has always been, I just want to serve. I've mentioned that to the Rashid before. I just want to serve. When we were coming out and you're like, what do you guys think your role was? I said, I just want to serve. We just want to serve, but me personally, I just want to serve. Whatever you need me to do. I think I've said those words to you, and then I'm like, man, I hope he doesn't ask me to do nothing ridiculous. But no, I'm just kidding. But, well, I did say that. But yeah, I just want to serve God. Because in through the years of doing, I've learned that by serving is how we show God that we love people. That's how we show God that we do love people. You know, you think of the of when God, right before Jesus went to go be crucified, and he goes up to Simon Peter and he says, hey, I need you to do this. And he's like, what are you doing? And Jesus gets down, and I'm paraphrasing, it's a dumb version, gets down and takes off his sandals and he's washing his feet. And Simon Peter's like, you will never wash my feet, man. And he says, no, I have to do this. Because in what I'm doing, I need you to do for others to show them that you love them the way that I love you. Go love them the way that I love you. I think I said it kind of right. I said, I just want to serve. I mentioned before, titles are cool and all, but that's never been my thing. I just wanted to grow, and I just want to grow now. Always wanting to grow, and I just want to serve people. Serving is an act of humility that positions us for what the Bible calls being exalted, which means receiving honor and being promoted to greater levels of authority, responsibility, and influence. The influence part has always been big for me too, because those that know me, my heart has been for men to grow in God, for men to grow to be husbands that they're supposed to be the fathers they're supposed to be the friends they're supposed to be, but to be men of God the way that they're supposed to be. It's always been such a blessing to see a guy that goes from one point to growing in these things, not because of me, but because of me just serving them, coming up, hey man, the way you did that, I started doing that at my house. Man, my wife, my love life is better, or this is better. Like, wow, God, look what we did. Because I just wanted to serve, amen, and I wanted to see men grow. That's the part that gets me a lot, is that influence part. But 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In doing certain things, you know, I'd be told, hey, this is probably going to happen. I never expected immediate stuff to happen for my life. Like I said, I just wanted to serve. Our job is to humble ourselves. Wanted to serve. God said, okay, we're going to take you to this point now. Now I had some level of responsibility in serving the pastor. And then in serving him and serving the people, all of a sudden came an opportunity where he said, now we're gonna put you on the board. I said, man, you need me to make decisions for the church, man? I don't even want to make decisions for myself. You know? But he said, no, but God has called you to do this because of your service that you've done for him. He knows that you can handle this thing. So that's where that responsibility part comes. And then after that, it was like, here's keys to the church. Oh, man, I want keys. Now I'm going to have to open. I'm going to have to go at midnight if something goes wrong. I didn't want all that. But then I realized, God, if that's what serving you is doing for is has me doing, then I'm more than happy to do it, no matter what. So it gave me those levels of authority. And then the promotion part. Then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, man, we're gonna ordain you and you're gonna get licensed to be a minister. I said, oh my gosh, unbelievable time in my life. Cried like a baby. I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was, God, you took this dude who was sinning and grinning, as they say, right? And just was happy doing it. To where now I love God, I love my family. And he says, this is what we're gonna do. Because now I need to put you in this position because now you can teach and you talk too much. So this is the last thing, I promise. I'm gonna shut the book just so you know. Two last things. Our world is crying out for servants. God is crying out. The earth is groaning for people to serve each other. There's so much selfishness in this world. There's so much of it's me before anybody else, my four and no more, whatever. God is calling us to love each other by serving each other in whatever capacity that means that God is telling you to do. You're at church. He wants you to get rooted in this system so you can thrive in your root system. Fat roots, like the kind like when people try to pull that tree out, it takes machinery, it takes a backhoe to get out there, a bucket with a chain that's going to pull you out, and that's even a fight, you know. That's what it takes to get rooted that hard. If you want to do it, you can, because I do. And like he said, you know, you go through stuff, you go through the church. There was plenty of opportunity to be offended, all the time. I'm all, how did they treat you, babe? Who said that to you? We're out of here. I could have. But I said, babe, they don't know. They don't know. It's okay. It's all right. They don't know. We just love Jesus. We'll let Jesus handle it. Jesus got rid of all the other bad stuff in my life. He'll get rid of that problem too. I promise. And we'll help them grow in the process, I hope. And then if you get anything out of this in serving, it's never been a have to. I've never thought of it. I have to do this thing. I've been so thankful that I get to serve Jesus. By serving his people, by serving the leaders he's placed in our church, by serving his people that come to listen to the word, and however it does it. So if serving means that we set up and tear down every Sunday, stack chairs, unstack chairs, man, I'm happy to do it. I might move a little slow sometimes, but I'm happy to do it because I know that if I do that, people will grow because they're being watered here. So I'm thankful that I get to and I don't have to. Amen?
Amen.
That's my time. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.